With our story this morning, we move further into the Easter season, the work of Easter, working out what it means to have resurrection set loose in the world, in our church, and in our lives. I remember when I was fairly young, I heard an old pastor in his sermon say that sometimes Easter can feel empty. He said that during Holy Week, we had bread broken, feet washed, thorns pressed into Jesus' scalp, crosses raised, and a body laid in a new grave. But now Easter is about absence. The body's no longer in the tomb, and we're left to work out what that means. As I listened to that sermon long ago, I had the thought that, and I realized that one of the functions of resurrection is restoration of relationships and forgiveness. In the gospel today, Peter announces that he's going fishing, and several of the disciples decide to go with him. Now, if we think back a couple of weeks ago, Peter denied Jesus and ran from the scene of the crucifixion. Now, we know that Peter loved Jesus unconditionally and without reservation. But his fear made him deny Jesus and distance himself from Jesus. And I can only imagine his disappointment in himself, his guilt, and his shame. So that evening, Peter returns to what he knows best. He returns to what he's most comfortable with. I'm sure there's confusion and there's grief following the crucifixion. So Peter returns to the fishing boat. And I'm sure that casting the heavy nets all night long could help take his mind off of that confusion and give him some relief. But, you know, we're told that their efforts were fruitless. After a night of fishing, the group has caught no fish. And on top of his grief now, his sense of having failed Jesus, he's confronted with the idea that he's failed at what he knows best. He's failed at fishing now. That's something he had done all of his life. But that morning, after the sun came up, the boat was only about 100 yards offshore, and they could see a man standing on the beach. And they could see the smoke from a small fire. And the stranger calls out to them and suggests something very odd. He tells them to cast their net on the other side of the boat. Now, basically, these are professional fishermen. They've been fishing that area all night long and have caught nothing. But strangely and surprisingly, they comply without hesitation. So they cast their nets on the other side of the boat, and the net is full of fish. It is so full of fish that they can't even haul it into the boat. The scripture tells us that the disciple whom Jesus loved told Peter, "It is the Lord." Well, when Peter heard that it was the Lord, he was so excited, he literally grabs his clothes, jumps in the sea, and heads to shore. And the other disciples come ashore in the boat, dragging that net full of fish that doesn't even tear because it's so full they can't haul it in the boat. The stranger on shore was, in fact, Jesus. And when they'd gone ashore, they saw him sitting there with a charcoal fire, with fish on it, and bread. And Jesus tells them to bring some of the fish they've caught. and he invited them to come and have breakfast. The breakfast on the beach with Jesus starts to shift the disciples from grief and confusion to purpose and mission. Everything that Jesus had told them before his crucifixion is now coming to light to the disciples and their purpose, which was to tell Jesus' story, to spread the good news, and to love. That morning, Jesus had some specific business with Peter. I think it would be kind of fair to say that we're kind of all the Peters. You know, we all take a little part in the Peter stories. His enthusiasm, his awkwardness, his lack of understanding, but his enormous love for Jesus sounds pretty much like my story sometimes. And that old preacher that I spoke about earlier told me one time that I think in the gospel sometimes Peter was a stand-in for us. Well, I think if we'll remember that before his arrest and crucifixion, Jesus told Peter that he would deny him 3 times before the cock crowed. And sadly enough, that prediction came true. The story was that Peter was standing outside while Jesus was being questioned. And he was approached by bystanders. And they asked him about his relationship with Jesus. And each of the 3 times, he denied knowing Jesus. And out of fear, he isn't even at the crucifixion. Well, that morning on the beach, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus addresses Peter. And he says, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And Peter tells him, says, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." So Jesus tells Peter, "Feed my lambs." A second time, Jesus addresses Peter and says, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter says, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Jesus says, "Tend my sheep." He says to Peter a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Now, Peter feels hurt that Jesus has asked him 3 times, "Do you love me?" And he says to Jesus, "Lord, you know everything. You know I love you." And Jesus tells him, "Feed my sheep." That morning after breakfast, Peter is given the opportunity to undo his denial of Jesus with these 3 affirmations of love. Jesus tells him what to do with that love. He tells him to feed the flock. "Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep." Now, although the word forgiveness doesn't appear in this story, it has to be a critical theme. Peter, who was the impulsive, emotional, big-mouth disciple, gave in to fear. He failed to acknowledge Jesus, and he failed to stick around to the bitter end. Now, on that beach, Peter is given the opportunity to face his risen Lord and begin again. In one of my favorite hymns, 304, he is forgiven, loved, and free. These words offer some of the deepest implications of resurrection for us. We're forgiven. We're invited to start over. We are completely loved, and we have a job to do. This isn't only Peter's story. This is our story too. When fear holds us back, love calls us forward. When we feel trapped by the way things have always been, Jesus invites us to cast our nets on the other side, to change our perspective in the light of resurrection. We're called not only to proclaim God's love known to us in Jesus, but to act on it. We're called to embrace love as the basis of all of our actions, of everything we undertake. God's love, set loose in the world in resurrection, needs our hands, our feet, and our hearts. Like Peter, we're called to change our perspective. We're called to cast our nets on the other side. We're called to cast our nets where the love of God is available for all. Jesus invites us, come, have breakfast. In the morning light of resurrection, there is no room for guilt or fear. We are forgiven, loved, and free. And we have some sheep to feed. Thanks be to God. Amen.